WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Welcome back to another edition of Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me is Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan. And we're heading into the Michigan game. Who would have thunk it? Notre Dame 0-2, Michigan 0-2. Usually this game has all the significance for a national championship run. Not this year, of course. If you like what you hear on Dome and Domer or have any comments you'd like to make on the show, post on our blog at domeanddomer.com. Send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. Okay, Ed, is this a turning point in the season potentially for both teams? Can you salvage a season if you win this game, if you're Michigan or Notre Dame?
If you're Michigan, I think you can. If you're Notre Dame, you have a number of very difficult games still coming up. You remember that most of the nation thought Michigan was a top five team going into the season and thought Notre Dame wasn't even worthy of a ranking. Michigan, of course, laid an egg. We've gotten thumped by two pretty good teams. So going into this game, I think it's still advantage Michigan. And
Michigan.
Yes, just they're at home. Just lining up their experienced athletes against our inexperienced athletes.
Well, okay, I'll go along with you there. It's advantage Michigan from the standpoint that on paper they've got better people than we do. That's why they were ranked preseason number five. They have the edge in personnel, no question about it. Mike Brammer, what do you think about the intangibles here? Who has the edge with Michigan just getting thumped at home twice, once, of course, through Appalachian State? But Notre Dame is in complete turmoil and disarray right now, too. So who's got the edge on the intangibles?
Strangely enough, I don't think either one of them do. I mean, this is
there
really
are no intangibles that are going to help anybody here.
I don't see it. I just think this is one of those games that it's going to, however the game unfolds, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you would hope that we don't turn the ball over in the first two series. And actually, I feel somewhat good about that. I mean, Clawson had one interception, and I don't even think that was his fault.
No, that wasn't his fault.
So you look at his completion percentage and everything, and we're certainly not going to hang this on him. But the other intangibles, I mean, I think it's a crapshoot. You got two freshman quarterbacks starting.
Okay, let's talk about the freshman quarterbacks. That's going to get a lot of the attention going into this game, is the phenoms, both Jimmy Clawson and the Michigan quarterback,
Ryan Mallett,
were highly recruited guys, both enrolled early in the spring, both come from a real strong football background and are older than their years, apparently. So I haven't seen Mallett do anything, but I liked what I saw from Clawson.
You know, Jimmy had a good game. There were a few plays he held onto the ball too long, or I thought...
Are we going to call him Jimmy? I don't like... I mean,
yeah,
Jimmy.
No,
you know,
all right, what do we call him?
Clawson, or if you're Mike Brammer, Clawson. But we'll call him Clawson.
When he wins the game, we'll call him Clawson. Until then, it's Clawson. He played well in a very difficult circumstance. Now, the thing is, it's like, congratulations, you survived Happy Valley. Now go to the big house. So, you know, it doesn't get any easier for him. The only good news in all this is the unit for Michigan that has played the worst is their defense.
Yeah, their defense is one of the worst in the nation statistically. Against
Which is nice because our offense is the worst in the nation.
Offense in the country for Notre Dame. But again, I think this is where Michigan has the edge in the intangibles, because their defense is probably going to play better at home. Oh, wait, no, that doesn't hold true for Michigan, does it, given the last 2 weeks? So if you're an Irish fan, you got to have some optimism that Clawson, in his second start, will be through maybe some of those first-game jitters, that Charlie Weiss is going to open up the offense a little more. By his own admission in this week's press conference, he said, well, we didn't have much of the offense put in going into Penn State. So I think you're going to see more of the offense, the vertical passing game that maybe was the hallmark of the Brady Quinn era, as well as the dinks and dunks, which Charlie Weiss has always been known for.
He's got to do that. If people come at Clawson, if people come at our quarterback in the way that they have the last 2 weeks, then you got to have hot reads, you got to dump it quick, and that way keep him off balance and maybe get a chance to throw some down the field too. You know, I don't think he was as conservative as people think. There were some attempts to throw downfield. We had one obvious problem with the holding penalty that called that one back.
Well, that was late in the game when at that point you had no choice but to start throwing it down. When the game was on the line, we opened up the game with four or five swing passes, some screen passes. There was
an impressive drive for a while.
Right. There was no real attempt to throw the ball down the field. And when we did, Maybe Clausen hung on to it too long. Maybe Brammer, as you pointed out, there was only one or two receivers in the route and they didn't get open. You know, there's a lot of factors in that. Let's be honest. It's the offensive line, and that's the key to the game. Bram, who would you like to see in the backfield? Charlie Weiss has run a lot of running backs in there so far in two games. Early in the season, who's caught your eye?
Well, I still think the guy that's got the most potential is Allen. I mean, he seems to have that burst speed. The problem is I get the feeling that he's just not as confident. You know, he gets the ball right away and immediately tries to burst into the line without really reading his hole. The difference between him and Darius Walker is Allen has that breakaway burst. Darius didn't. Now, Darius could dance around like that and get 4 or 5 yards, but he's not going anywhere after that. I think Allen has that ability to I'm not saying come to a complete stop, but at least read the hole, see where the hole is opening up, and break for that. He didn't do that in the first game. That, and he needs to keep his feet. He's the guy that I like, and I think you got to, you know, unfortunately for Charlie, I mean, I like the idea of spreading it out some, but you got to have at least one guy that over the course of the game is going to get a lot of carries that has that one potential to break it open and change the game.
I like what Allen brings to the table so far in bits and pieces that we've seen. Over the years, I've been a big Travis Thomas fan. I don't see what he's bringing to the table right now. And I'd like to see a little more James Aldridge.
You know, I'm partial to a little bit of what Brammer says. I don't really like to go on record agreeing too much with Brammer, but on this one I will. There are some guys who need 15 or 20 carries to feel comfortable and feel the rhythm of the game.
Well, 15 or 20 carries, we don't. The whole team's not getting that many when you go 3 and out.
No,
you know?
Yeah, that's
but,
a problem.
But a guy that I'm intrigued by that I'd like to see what he can do is Robert Hughes, the freshman. I think we're not seeing him a lot, obviously, because he's not showing it in practice. But he is supposedly a big physical guy with good feet. Right now, Schwab gives you nothing right now.
I'm very disappointed.
He's whipped so many times. I tell you, the best block he had was... on it was a scramble. I'm trying to think of early in the game. The play broke down a little bit. We flipped it out to a receiver out in the perimeter, and as he made a cutback, Schwab happened to be there. Maybe Clausen took off with it. I think that's what it was. And Schwab nailed somebody. But other than that, I don't see him doing a heck of a lot.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I keep waiting for this breakout game or to see some real contribution. I don't think we have. The question of who should play in the backfield, though, may be very much dictated by who's picking up the blitz, who's able to pick up the blitz and block properly. And from that standpoint, maybe Travis Thomas gives you the experience there that the young guys are going to get Clausen killed if they don't pick it up properly.
Interesting point. From that standpoint, I mean, maybe we really missed Darius Walker more than we thought we would because he was
pretty
very good picking up the blitzes. And I think you're seeing Junior Jabby get some reps on third down, and that could be because he's the most effective guy at picking up blitzes and passing situations. I don't know. There's a lot of questions, as we've talked about. And the fact that you're seeing 5-6 guys rotating through is an indication that nobody's nailed that down yet. So I think that's one of the real keys for the Irish against Michigan, is to begin to establish who's that go-to guy. When you need a play from a running back, who is it on this team? And we don't know yet, but I like Armando Allen.
Hey, not to change the subject completely, but here's an interesting question. Strictly related to the coaching staffs here, who benefits the most from a win and who benefits the least from a loss? With the two traditions of this program, who benefits the most from a win?
Say that again.
Basically, who can stand to take the loss?
Okay. Right, yeah, Charlie.
Lloyd Carr, he's really on the hot seat. Yeah. His future is in doubt. He's going to retire, quote, unquote, retire at the end of the year. But I think the honeymoon's not over. Now this brings up something that we wanted to talk about today. The comparisons in the national media about Coach Willingham and Charlie Weiss, both in their third year. The comparisons not only to what Willingham is doing at Washington right now, but what Willingham did in his third year at Notre Dame. Are these fair comparisons?
You know, ESPN had an article that really hung Charlie out on that issue. And
had an article. It was front page of ESPN.com, the lead story.
It was. Look, we're not a complete apologist for Charlie. I'm behind him. I like him. And I was behind Ty for a long time as well. And he deserves
that. Takes guts to admit that.
Yeah, I mean, I was give the guy a chance. The BYU game, his third year, is when I began
to Syracuse year two.
Well, right, okay. So what are the differences? The part about the article that was the worst, and this is what the media is all over, this phrase that, hey, Charlie won with Ty's players, okay, but can't win with his own. And that's what the article actually said. And that is just the worst form of reporting, because it leads right into the race baiting, which he went ahead and did, you know, raising this issue about Ty not being given a fair chance and why, and Charlie being given an extra long honeymoon and all that. And the fact is that we're still playing with Ty's players. And the fact that Charlie won with Ty's players is an indication not of the fact that he's not a good as good a coach, but that he's a better coach.
Well, let's look at a couple of the points of comparison. The blowout losses. Okay, four blowouts in a row.
That's tough.
It is.
We just have to eat that one.
And you look at what Willingham's doing at Washington right now, and the verdict is still out on that program.
Totally.
Okay, so
I wish the man success. He doesn't have to fail to prove that Charlie was the right guy.
That's right. But winning at Syracuse and beating Boise State, I know you think Boise State's a really good program, Ed. We'll disagree on that. But beating Boise State proves nothing. We'll see what they do against Ohio State, and that will be a great test for them this week. But the comparison begins and ends with recruiting. Willingham was fired because of recruiting, and we're seeing the fallout from that right now on this team. There are no seniors in this team. There are virtually no juniors that contribute.
Yeah, the other thing is, I mean, look at it. I think if you listen to the consistent message that Charlie gives, I mean, he comes out and he sounds coherent. He's got a guy who has a plan in his mind, and he's implementing that plan. And he gives that to you on a weekly basis. We are right where we thought we were going to be. I mean, he said in the offseason, I don't want to say the R word, because in a place like Notre Dame, you shouldn't have rebuilding years. But you know what? This is a rebuilding year. We are what we are. And the fact of the matter is, he has addressed the problems we've got. We now have a very solid defensive recruiting class coming in here. It's number one right now, number one in the nation. So how can you say that, the comparisons are that Ty would have gotten run out of town if he were in the same situation as Charlie? No, he would not have.
No.
Not at all.
Well, no, if he had the number one
recruiting class. My point.
People don't understand.
And how fundamental that is. We were ranked 32nd and 40th. Those two classes, the senior and junior classes, in recruiting. So, and we are now fielding...
And we've lost some guys out of there.
Yes. We're fielding, essentially, a JV team against the nation's best teams, and because of the holes that we have. No offensive linemen recruiting.
No top...
And what about Brady Quinn? Would Brady Quinn be who he is right now if Ty was still here? I don't think so.
And it's just the national media is taking their shots now because they can, and that won't be the case in the future. As brighter days are ahead, and everybody's got to keep that in mind. In terms of Saturday, again, the key offensive line play, the defense got to keep us in the game, which they have in the first 2 weeks. And
yes,
we have to begin to see some development on the offense with establishing some consistency, a running game. And Jimmy Clausen's a big key in that, in eating up some bigger chunks of yards. So I'm expecting to see a little different approach offensively this week. It is a great opportunity for Notre Dame to go out and beat a named team on the road. And regardless of the record, though, let's be honest, Michigan has the edge personnel. So maybe some guarded optimism, because you might catch Michigan in disarray, but only slightly optimistic. Ed, you want to give us a score?
You really want me to?
No, not really. Brayden, okay. Give us a score.
I'm going to say 23-20 Notre Dame.
Okay, I'm going to go with 20-17 Irish on a late field goal.
I'm going to say 28-10 Michigan.
Of course. Okay, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. Post a comment about what you've heard at domeanddomer.com. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. We'll be back on the weekend. Look for a new episode on Sunday to recap what we see up in Ann Arbor. Until then, I'm Mike Sullivan. For Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer, I'm Dome, and they're Dome.